This is day 3 of the October 4-day retreat in Springwater. Two people in private meetings last night came in with a question or a statement about sitting. One wondered, can one sit too much? And the other person came in wondering if it's possible, or wondered about requiring people to sit more here. Is that helpful? Would that be helpful? So one thing that came up with wondering, can one sit too much, was a quote from Krishnamurti where he would say, this doesn't apply particularly to sitting, but this work, that attempting to attend all the time might make one neurotic. Kind of pressure, expectation. Now, with this other question of requiring people to sit all the timed rounds, there was space to look at that some. This person has come from a very strict Zen background, very similar to the one I came from and several other people here came out of, where it was a part of the sesshin, the intense retreat, that people had to be at every sitting, and if you weren't at a sitting, they would come looking for you. So some of us came out of that kind of working, including Tony, and people brought it up with Tony as well and with me, coming out of that, didn't that serve something for you? So there needed to be some looking at that. It gets tricky to talk about cause and effect, but there was, within that context of intensity, of the sesshin, it was opening. But it was deep, deep questioning here that as it was gone into it's tricky because it's memory to some extent to bring it up here, but as best as can be said, that it almost didn't matter where I was. The question was all encompassing. But one could say, well, was the intensity and the requirement of the sitting, and I don't feel capable of putting together the cause and effect ideas of that, which is okay. But it is so that people report here and have over time that an opening happens without the pressure, the requirements of sitting every round. Somebody hitting one with a stick to encourage the sitting. That was when we first left the center. We were still using what was called the kiyosaku, the stick. And I remember the first time I was using it at this camp, Camp Ananda, Canandaigua Lake. We were having retreats there before we built this place. And I remember going to a meeting with Tony, and even though, I mean, I had experienced the stick for years and Sashin, I said to her, it feels weird. It just doesn't feel right to walk behind people. And even though it was only, I think, when people asked for it, still to be whacking with the stick. And she said, everybody feels that way when they first use it. But over time, even though there was someone else here, the first assistant administrator, he liked it. It felt something physical while sitting. But eventually that was dropped. When this place was built and we have this incredible sitting space, we had the cushions on all the mats, and somebody said, well, you know, when people come into this room and there's a cushion on each mat, it sort of implies that you need to sit a certain way. And that was Zen Center. It was, you really were told to work towards a full lotus, not just sitting on a mat, but a full lotus. And they talked about how to stretch your legs and hot baths and whatever to do to sit a certain way. That was the goal, part of So then the cushions were removed. And I think there were always some chairs on the balcony, but people started donating, and somehow there arose all these more comfortable chairs, lounge chairs. There's couches in the dining room, couches out the balcony, solarium. Many ways with an aging or otherwise challenged body to assume a reasonably comfortable position, to sit quietly, and listen and look at whatever is here, whatever comes up, in an unpressured environment. May bring our own internal pressures, whether from past trainings or just one's particular makeup, achievement-oriented, whatever we bring here, and all that is possible to be observed. So things here have evolved, as it was described to this person, somewhat organically. There was no preset idea, this is exactly how we'll do retreats in Springwater, how with what chairs there will be, what the goal is. It was to provide a space where people, no matter what other tradition one may have been involved with or is involved with, or maybe other teachers, no teacher, doesn't matter. People are welcome to come and sit, listen, inquire together or alone in silence. Now, one could say, well, if the intensity of the training at a Zen center was in some way contributing to something that was significant, important, however one might put it, to happening, what about that? And what came up in looking at that is to be, or at least looking here, again, not to put it on anyone, but that there be some wariness. We question authority, outward authority. Someone saying this is how this needs to be done. This is the truth, whatever. We need to also wonder about the internal authority of one's own experience. Rather, leave it open. Is that possible? So that we can look and listen to each other freshly, which is hard to do when what is being called the authority of the past is engaged, is active. My way, So, it was also asked, wasn't assumed that there was going to be a change here, that suddenly the next retreat, somehow, how that would even happen, I can't imagine that people are required to come to sitting. So it was asked, well, what about encouraging that? So there was and has been looking at that. As it's seen here, the best one can do is to come from within. What has seemed to be helpful in suggesting or offering something to each other. And looking here, it is helpful to sit, to be still, quiet. It's an amazing opportunity. As much as one may like to take a little time out of one's daily life to sit quietly, just be still for a few moments, half an hour, whatever. Some of us, it happens for, but there's the 10,001 things that tend to present themselves, and as much as there may be an intention to take some time, other things need or appear to need some attention. So here, other than the hour of work, what else do we need to do? So there's lots of time, lots of time and space and the energy of others sitting quietly. Lots of opportunity to find out. Find out for oneself what sitting, lying down, finding whatever position works. Finding out what comes up. Our usual modes, and this isn't said judgmentally, just in observation as so, is to move away from discomfort, pain, not just physical, but what we call emotional, so in a space like this, a retreat such as this, possibility, with whatever comes up. Can it be bathed in awareness? Without any pressure to do a particular practice or meditation. Someone came to a meeting in this retreat and said that they came to this meditation work, we use that word, to help relieve stress, but found that there was more interest in what comes up here. And the question, who am I, came up. Even said, realizing, you know, life is relatively short. And this became meaningful to really plummet that question. Without anybody here telling him what he had to do or not do with regard to the sitting. Something else that was asked was, now, the past training, the Zen Center, a lot of strict, very strict rules about the eyes, keep them down. You don't read, there's no books to be read. They would say, read the book of yourself. And pretty soon after we built the center, there was a library downstairs and books, different spiritual books, and there wasn't so much of an admonishment not to read. And Tony would say, well, if you read something that, you know, provides something to look at, that something like that. And then came along computers, tablets, and people came with some really needing to access their computer. And then we needed to provide a place for that. So we say the basement to help provide the rest of the building with a relatively, nothing's completely silent, but a relatively quiet atmosphere without the activity in a room of somebody turning, flipping pages or whatever might go on with electronic devices, but really these things have sort of come up as needed needing to be addressed, not outwardly as this or that rule, but more or less, one could say, guidelines, but and they are helpful and make sense so that it's not rules or guidelines for its own sake. Was also asked, is there something fundamental to the work here? So what was said here, and I don't want to speak for others, but what came up here was something that resonated in that question was that there be the possibility to find out who or what one truly is. But what I neglected to also add in the meeting, so I'll add it now, is that there be some interest to look and listen to what comes up here. Honestly, honest looking. In that looking, someone had said something the other day about attachment, and that kind of percolated here, and there was some looking about that. First of all, what is meant by attachment, and what came up here is that fear of loss, fear of losing something or someone. And then we say we're attached. Now in some spiritual traditions, or maybe I should just speak to the one I came out of. There was somewhat of a judgment about it, that it wasn't good to be attached. For there to be attachment leads to suffering. Avoid that. Cut it off. Manjusri sword was said. But that doesn't provide, as it's seen here, honest looking. Not that it's good or bad, which colors the possibility of looking. So there was wondering, is there attachment here? Fear of losing one's house, car, possessions, beautiful stereo. And oddly, it didn't. Now, until something is really gone, one may not know, but as best as one could look, it didn't. There'd be probably missing something, but didn't feel like a severe pain of loss that is implied by attachment. There's also attachment to ideas, beliefs, one's experiences. Is that so? Last night, someone came into a meeting, and in the course of the meeting, they said, you know, when you use this me circuit analogy, it doesn't work for me. It sounds mechanical. I can't remember quite how it was put. And at that moment, there was a presence and possibility to look, okay, well, let's look at that. And she asked, could you say it a different way, more direct? So some fumbling around for a few minutes to look at an example. And the example was, okay, here, you presented this me circuit, doesn't work, and right now some presence, and there's the possibility to look at that. But if there is unseen attachment, this is me, this description, these words, this way of putting something, could be the pain in the solar plexus there, and maybe tightening up, ready to defend something. So, that needs to be watched, and we can feel it when somebody questions what is said. One's experience with something. One wants to be so helpful in putting something out, and somebody says, no, it's not so helpful. Can one just let it go? Let it go. Or is it like, oh no, this is how it is for me. This is me. Is there attachment to a spouse, partner, loved one? Yes. The thought of losing my wife It brings pain. That can be seen in awareness. What comes up here that's important isn't that that shouldn't be here, but how does that impact a relationship? So there's been the need to really watch protectiveness and concerns that are not helpful. So, with what we call attachments, sorrows, joys, hurts, pains, experiences of that come up that are very painful or joyful. Is it possible for just one moment, this moment, to behold it all in stillness? Along with the yawning, the sounds, distant barking, people. Everything for just this moment, just as it is. Everyone just as they are. Without right or wrong. There's a part of a poem by Rumi which came to mind and will be part of the readings tomorrow morning. It says, out beyond ideas of wrongdoing and rightdoing, there is a field. I'll meet you there. here, in this field of stillness. We will end there.